This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll talk about tomorrow night's potentially momentous meeting of the East Baton Rouge Parish City Council. An ordinance sponsored by one of our guests, C. Denise Marcel, would give gay people protection from discrimination and employment. And we'll talk with C. Denise Marcel about what the chances are of success in an ordinance that is an expansion of a resolution, a tolerance resolution that has failed more than once before the Metro Council. Also with us is the Reverend Reginald Pitcher, who says this is an unneeded move by the council, and he is an opponent. And we will discuss whether or not the Metro Council will muster the votes necessary to make Baton Rouge come in accord with other cities. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 877-217-5757 is the number wherever you are. Frank Barnett is producing. If you're dialing locally, please call 297-5633, and you may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Tomorrow night, as in Wednesday night, it shapes up as one of the liveliest council meetings in the history of a body that has had a few lively meetings through the years. A tolerance ordinance is on the agenda that is sponsored by Metro Councilwoman C. Denise Marcel. She is one of our guests. And with us to opine about this as well is the Reverend Reginald Pitcher, the pastor of the Greater 60 Aid Baptist Church on Gardier Lane. Good morning, and Councilwoman Denise Marcel, how's it looking? Do you have the votes?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I don't know if I have the votes to actually pass it. I think it'll be a great debate, and I think it's a conversation that needs to be had.
Well, you need a majority of the council, correct?
Well, currently you need 7 members.
Okay, so what happens if people don't show? You may have 1 or 2 who don't
you
show.
You still need 7.
So you may need a supermajority. And 7 votes based on what's happened in the past might seem to be a daunting prospect. It would seem the odds would be against it, but you're going to keep trying.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, I believe that the ordinance is needed in terms of discrimination, and not only for gay and lesbian people, but also for veterans, for seniors. I think that there is nothing on the local level nor the state level that has that protection. And I think that we need to say that with a loud voice, that we will not tolerate discrimination in any form.
Well, a poll shows that 62% of the people in the community favor this. Why is it such a tough vote for many of the council people?
Well, I believe that some of the people are being pressured, particularly by religious organizations or family forums, to vote against it. And they're pointing out that a lot of the emails that I'm getting is saying that it's an abomination, it's promoting people to be gay, and it's none of that.
Okay. Well, Reverend Reginald Pitcher has a different point of view, and he is a man of God. Good morning to you, Reverend Pitcher.
Good morning, Jim, and how are you doing, Denise?
Good morning, Pastor Pitcher.
So, yeah. Why are you against this, Reverend Pitcher?
Well, quite frankly, Jim, I think it goes beyond, you know, the religious aspect. You know, I know you know how I feel about that. But what this ordinance is, basically, is part of a special interest group, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, to force an alternative lifestyle on the community, and to force us to accept it. I don't believe that there are any verifiable statistics to prove any major glaring discrimination in employment, public accommodation, or housing based on gender identity or sexual orientation. And I don't believe that this ordinance is warranted, because they're already protected under the law. They already have equal rights. They already have civil rights. What they're looking for are special rights, and I don't think that's fair.
Denise Marcel, is it special rights that is that what's detailed in this?
Well, we can agree to disagree on that, Pastor. I don't believe it's a special right to have a due process to law. I don't believe that it is a special right in order to be hired based upon your experience or to want to live in a particular neighborhood. I don't believe that's a special right. I believe that it should be equal treatment to all people. And I also don't believe that, first of all, nobody came to me as a special interest group and asked me to sponsor it, number one. So it's not a special interest group from my viewpoint. I believe that it's equal treatment for all people. And that is not a particular thing carved out to promote homosexuality. It's not any ordinance that promotes anything. It actually says that we will not discriminate in terms of housing. And I think a lot of information has been disseminated that's not true about the ordinance. I would really hope that everybody that sent me an email would actually read it and stop sending me emails that says it's abomination. We're not defining what homosexuality is in the ordinance. We're simply saying...
I've read it, and I have a copy of it. I have a copy of it right in front of me. What it does, it creates a whole new category to protect an alternative lifestyle. And what I have issue with is that there should not be law putting alternative lifestyle. As the law is now, everyone is already protected. What it does, it gives them the right to someone because they don't agree with their alternative lifestyle. That's the problem I have with this ordinance.
Pastor, in all fairness, it actually protects... the religious organizations are exempt from the statute. So I don't know if you've read that, but the religious organizations are exempt. But not only that, you mentioned something else that says that there's no proof that there's an issue. Well, there was a study done by UCLA, and I would invite you to read it, that says that discrimination does exist amongst that particular group since you point that group out. But I also believe it exists in terms of seniors. I also believe that it exists in terms of veterans. So all of those people are included in my ordinance because I believe there's some amount of discrimination against each one of those groups.
Well, you're hearing the voice of Councilwoman C. Denise Marcel. She has revived an ordinance to prohibit discrimination in housing and employment in the parish, including on the basis of sexual orientation. Now, this measure probably would have virtually no discussion if it did not include sexual orientation. Denise Marcel initially proposed the ordinance in February. In fact, I think you made the announcement on this show, and you've delayed it or deferred it a few times. Why now? Why is this the time?
Well, one of the things that some of my colleagues talked about was the Human Rights Commission that I had initially said would review those. And so they had issues with that. Or at least that's what they said at the time. So I removed that component and worked with the parish attorney's office to pull that out and put in the 19th JDC. And so, of course, after I removed that, I mean, you know, that they're finding any excuse that they can not to support the ordinance. And, I mean, everybody has a right to their own belief. My belief is that God loves everyone. He created us all equal. I do not support any particular group. I do not support any particular activity. I do support non-discrimination against all people. And I don't care who that is and what they're doing. I don't believe this is a special class to protect any particular person. I just believe discrimination shouldn't be tolerated in any form, particularly in housing and in employment.
Would you acknowledge, Denise Marcel, that this is a sensitive and controversial issue in the minority community?
I certainly would.
And why?
Because, once again, everybody relates it to the abomination of the sin. But what I say to people is sin, and the way I look at sin. So if you're a liar, you're sinning. If you're a thief, you're sinning. If you are adulterers, you're sinning. If you're a fornicator, you're sinning. And if you're homosexual, you're sinning. So sin is sin. So what do we say? We don't want to protect those people and that do those things. So, I mean, if you're going to point it out, let's point out everything. I mean, we have people, we have ministers, in fact, that are in that have been actually charged with some sex crimes, but we forgive them and allow them back into the church and also back into the pulpit. But you want to say, you want to have two standards. And I think it's hypocritical when we do that.
Well, is any sex outside the bounds of holy matrimony, is that a sin?
Well, let me just say that my debate is not what's a sin and what is not a sin, but when they pull out one component of it, I'll say if you're going to go biblical, a lot of things that we do on a daily basis are sins. And so to weigh one sin greater than the other, I don't know how to weigh sin. I think sin is all I'm saying to you, Jim.
Well, you come across to me as somebody who might have trepidation about, say, gay marriage. I don't know what your position is there, but I my guess is that you might not embrace that. But you say, okay, I'm going to be conservative, if you will, on this issue, but on the coordinates, in your mind, it comes down to a fairness issue.
In my mind, it comes down to a fairness issue. It comes down to discrimination, and that's what I don't support. I don't support discriminating against you because you're a great radio show host. If you tell me today, Denise, I'm gay, do you think that the radio station should fire you? I think that, and that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. If you come out today and say, you know, Denise, since this ordinance out, I want to say, you know, blah, blah, blah. I want to say that this is where I am in my life. I may not support what you do, condone what you do, but I don't think you need to be fired because of it. I don't think your home the association where you live, the neighborhood association, need to say, well, you can't live in here. I believe those things should be protected.
All right,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, in this community, I would argue that there is as much or more discrimination against black people than against gay people. For example, you look in the neighborhoods in this city, and our neighborhoods are segregated, and they're segregated by design. This just doesn't happen. You got people who are living in communities that are all white, and they call themselves progressive. Some of the opposition may very well be that, as Reverend Pitcher says, you're focusing on a group that may not have as much of a problem living as they are in this community as African Americans do.
Well, African Americans have traditionally had problems with discrimination, and I agree that we continue to have those problems. However, I don't know how to construct a law that says that the affluent people don't leave the inner city and go on the outside of the city and become a new neighborhood. It's nothing I can do to tell people where to live. However, I can, on a local level, try to build my community back up. And I think that that's something that all of us have a part in to play in if we want to, you know, see the African-American community change. I think that we all must do our part in that aspect.
Reverend Pitcher, what are your thoughts about the relative discrimination against black people as opposed to the discrimination that also is present against gay people in this community and others?
Is that to me, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I keep hearing her speak about the discrimination that's taking place. Where are the statistics to support that? I have not seen any statistics to support the fact that gays and lesbians have been discriminated against in hiring and housing and public accommodations. I haven't seen that. I see that the civil rights struggle has been hijacked to try to justify them wanting to pass this ordinance. I don't see any mass discrimination. I don't see any signs of saying that for straight only. I don't see any signs of saying that if you're gay or lesbian, you cannot apply for housing or apply for a lease agreement in this neighborhood. Or you can't. I don't see that.
We'll be back with C. Denise Marcel and the Reverend Reginald Pitcher after this 90-second pause on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF. Frank Barnett is producing. 297-5633 is your number. We will go to the phone lines in short order with the Reverend Reginald Pitcher, pastor of the Greater 68 Baptist Church on Gardier Lane, and C. Denise Marcel, councilwoman who is sponsoring an ordinance that goes before the Metro Council tomorrow evening that would prohibit discrimination in housing and employment for gay people. And this comes on the heels of the Metro Council rejecting a One Baton Rouge resolution, not an ordinance, that was quite brief in its wording. All it said was, whereas it is the Metro Council and Mayor President's desire to present the city of Baton Rouge and parish of East Baton Rouge in the future as a city and parish that has as their foundation and philosophy the acceptance and integration of people of all races, sexes, creed, colors, religions, ages, ancestries, disabilities, sexual orientations, nationalities, marital status, political affiliations, people of all walks of life into every aspect of Baton Rouge community life so that we will be enriched by one another. That one went down, and one of those to vote against it was Denise Marcel.
Correct.
Have you had some sort of a change of heart here?
No. When that resolution, number one, it was a resolution and didn't have any teeth to it. It didn't do anything to protect anybody. So a resolution is just certainly a piece of paper. The way it was presented to us, that it was going to only, it was presented to us as it was a special class of people. And that's what I had problems with, just protecting one particular group of people. Now, I want to respond to something that Pastor Pitcher said earlier, that there was no evidence of discrimination, and I'll invite him or forward him a copy of a study that was done by UCLA law students, and which does go from state to state and tell you whether or not they have protection or not and what has been done. In Louisiana, Governor Kathleen Blanco issued an executive order in 2004 banning discrimination based upon sexual orientation against state employees. But Governor Bybee Jindal rescinded the order in 2008, which ended the protection for gays and lesbians in the state employees. So basically, there were studies done. It does exist. The numbers are there. It's real. And so those studies were done long before I even got on the council.
All right. Well, Reverend Pitcher, before we go to the phones, any thoughts from you about where we are and your aversion to this ordinance?
Yes, I'm getting feedback, Jim.
Okay. Can you hear what I'm saying now?
Yes.
Okay. What about your aversion to this ordinance? What harm would it do?
Well, basically it is this. The ordinance is a test case in their efforts to legalize an alternative lifestyle. They already have protections. They already have rights. What they're trying to do is to protect their alternative lifestyle and have the ability to sue anyone who dares to challenge it. I'm saying they already have equal protection under the law. They already have civil rights.
Excuse me, Pastor Pitcher. Where's that protection under the law? Because it's not on the local level and it's not on the state level. And in fact, President Barack Obama just passed something this week on the federal level. Does not give you the ability. I don't know if you realize it, but it does not give them. They have to have a due process to law. There has to be
everybody
law.
Everybody does. Not just them. Everybody does.
There has to be a way for them to access.
They have the same way that everybody else does. They have the same way that black people do. They have the same way that handicapped people have. Why do they have to have a special ordinance specifically for them? They fall up under the same umbrella as everyone else.
They do not, sir.
Yes, they do. Why don't they?
Because it's not in the state law, and it's not in the local law, sir.
They're human beings, right? They're citizens of the nation, right? They're citizens of the city of Baton Rouge. That automatically puts them under the protection of the state and local ordinances.
And the state and local ordinance does not include homosexuals, sir.
It includes citizens of the city or the state in which they live, which they happen to be, right?
They are citizons.
Okay,
I agree with you. They should have special protection.
They're citizens.
I would invite you to contact a local attorney and ask them, do they have access to a lawsuit at this time prior to this ordinance, sir?
All right, Joe on Acadian. Joe, we're going to go to a few people, and some folks have been waiting a long time. Joe, you're on the air with Reginald Pitcher and Denise Marcel. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Jim. I want to thank Metro Council person Denise Marcel for her leadership and standing up to make Baton Rouge a better place. I want to speak to Reverend Pitcher just a second. Reverend Pitcher, you are 1,000% incorrect about there being any way for a gay person to have any kind of relief if they are fired by somebody who is intolerant and bigoted. You also mentioned you don't see any signs out saying gays not welcome. You also, Reverend Pitcher, don't see signs out saying blacks are not welcome.
Not anymore.
I can guarantee you, as a 43-year resident of this city, discrimination exists in this city against blacks. There's no question about it. You don't see signs out. That's why you don't see signs out against gays, but it does exist. And I'll give you a personal example. I've lived in this city for 43 years, Reverend Pitcher. I've lived in this city 21 years as an openly gay businessman. I have a partner of 20 years. He was fired by a prominent family here in Baton Rouge. I remember the phone call like it was yesterday. He was called at 8 o'clock at night and was fired.
All right. Reverend Pitcher, do you want to respond to Joe?
I couldn't hear the end of it, but basically what I'm saying is that there are already laws in place to protect our civil rights, our human rights, and I still say that they want a special ordinance, special rights, special treatments to protect them simply because they have an alternative lifestyle. Why not come up with a law to protect vegetarians? Why not come up with a law to protect left-handed people? Why not come up with a law to protect redheads? So any special interest group who comes up who feel like they're discriminated against outside of the so-called alternative lifestyle, then you figure you should have an ordinance that specifically addressed them when they're already protected under the law.
297-5633 for C. Denise Marcel, Councilwoman, proposing an ordinance that will come before the Metro Council tomorrow night. And Reverend Reginald Pitcher, an opponent and the pastor of the Greater 68 Baptist Church on Gardner Lane. Reverend Pitcher has been a pastor in this community for many, many years. Right now, I hear you have maybe three solid votes. You, Delgado, and Luke, those are the three I hear that have said they will vote for this, and you need seven. You think you're going to get four votes in the next 30 hours?
Well, again, Jim, I think the debate needs to happen, regardless of whether or not the votes are there or not. I think that people need to understand that this is a real issue, and maybe people that are not aware that there's discrimination. Once we have this debate and once people call in like the gentleman Joe just did, we'll know that these things exist. Perhaps you don't know they exist because nobody has contacted you to say that they have been discriminated against because of any of these categories.
Chad on Perkins. Good morning, Chad. You're on the air with Denise Marcel and Reverend Pitcher.
Good morning. I disagree that we should be placing all kinds of ordinances. Civil rights, yes, are probably being infringed, but not to the extent that they were during the civil rights movement, perhaps during the 50s and 60s. But what you should have is legitimate citizens of Baton Rouge, the regular people, taking an interest in the fact that there is discrimination. Putting it in the hands of the politicians just makes it seem like we should be giving people free protection in a sense that they think they don't already have it. You're not going to get rid of discrimination unless you ask regular folks, the guy that lives next door to you, the one that lives across the street, how we should be treating our neighbors.
All right. Denise?
Well, I mean, I think people generally have said that we shouldn't be discriminating against people. In fact, all of my colleagues agree that we shouldn't be discriminating against anyone. That's why I don't understand why they have a problem with voting to support a non-discriminating ordinance. That's what it says. It doesn't promote anything, and that's all it is. There are other people who are making it out to be something that is not.
I'm told most other cities of comparable size have ordinances of this kind.
And one of the things, Jim, that I want to say is that it attracts businesses to the particular area. In terms of, let's use IBM, for example. They already have a non-discrimination policy in place. But if there's a Fortune 500 company that perhaps want to move here, they may want to know that when they move their employees here, that there's a policy in place that will not discriminate. So I believe it helps our business community as well. So if you're not already discriminated against people, then you shouldn't have a problem with placing an ordinance that simply says, I won't discriminate against people and I won't tolerate it.
All right. Well, Tara Wicker, who is a fellow councilwoman and an African-American, says gay people are already protected in several different ways. Buddy Amoroso, another council member, says gay people have never been victimized as he remembers black people were under Jim Crow. I don't think you're going to get either one of them to vote for you tomorrow unless something unusual happens.
And I'm not comparing the discrimination in this ordinance to the Jim Crow era. I mean, we couldn't possibly do that. However, I will say that the discrimination that still exists also against women. We have women that are doing the same jobs that are being paid less. But of course, They did not vote for that either mm-hmm. in the state capitol. So I don't understand why women wouldn't understand that discrimination shouldn't be tolerated either.
Okay, Michael on Sherwood. Michael, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jim. I was listening in my car, and I couldn't help but the Reverend keep spouting about alternative lifestyle. It's that kind of is offensive. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's my life. It's the life of my family. You know, right now I'm thinking about going home. I have to get lunch ready for the kids. I have to do laundry. I have to pay some bills. It's my life. There's nothing alternative about it. It's our life.
All right. I think you're going to hear people like Michael coming forward tomorrow night before the council. And it's hard not to respond to people. And once again, Reverend Pitcher, if this were a close call, once again, what harm does this ordinance do? What does it do that's going to rock your world?
Well, actually, it sets the case for any special interest groups who want to promote their alternative lifestyle or their difference of opinion. It puts them in a position to where they force those who are not of like opinion to accept their alternative lifestyle or their opinion, and then she puts in the ordinance teeth whereby they can sue anyone who chooses not to agree with them or who chooses not to accept the alternative lifestyle. And I think that that's unfair. And it opens the door for any special interest group to do the same thing.
Pastor Pitcher, in one voice you say that they are already protected. So if they're already protected, then they can already sue, right?
Yeah, but not based on the fact that their sexual orientation or their gender identity. I mean, human rights, civil rights, all that's already protected. But you want to put them in an entirely different category.
No, actually, what I want to say is very, very simple. That because a person is gay, or because a person is veteran, or because a person is a woman, or because a person is whatever transgender, whatever that is, that they shouldn't be discriminated against. It's just that simple. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not promoting any particular lifestyle. I'm not suggesting any particular lifestyle. And let me just say, if I don't write this ordinance, do you think that there'll be less homosexuals?
Homosexuality is not my issue. I respect homosexuality. I respect their right to live any way they want to live. But I don't respect their right to force me to accept their lifestyle.
That brings us to a question from Robert Miller. He says, Reverend, do you believe that a private business owner should be allowed to fire an employee based on his or her sexual orientation?
No, I do not.
Okay. And he also says, do you believe a business should be able to say, we do not serve gays?
No, I do not.
Okay. Jonathan in Lafayette. Jonathan, good morning. You're on the air with Denise Marcel and Reverend Pitcher.
Funny that you should bring up the idea that we have to create laws to protect anybody that's out there, because Louisiana is a state that you can be fired for any reason that you want. I was actually fired years ago because the guy that I was working for, he didn't like that I was vegan and that my wife was black, and he thought I wasn't one of the guys. So he fired me. So the idea that it's discrimination isn't out there, it's not true.
All right. Ricky in Lafayette. Thank you, Jonathan, for your story. Ricky, good morning. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say that I think that what's being alleged here is that homosexuality or gender identification is a choice, when they say lifestyle. And I think that it's public opinion is becoming more set in understanding that homosexuality is not a choice. It is something you're born with, the same as you're born with your race or your sex. Sex, race, religion are protected under federal civil rights statutes. Homosexuality or a person's sexual orientation is not included. Sex is included, but that does not include sexual orientation. It is not protected anywhere if a person is fired simply because they have an alternative lifestyle. And I don't like really the statement alternative, because that to me implies that it's a choice. And it is no more of a choice than a person who, as I said, is African American or any other race. So,
all right, we've got to go to a break, but thank you so much, Ricky. And we shall return with Denise Marcel and Reverend Reginald Pitcher. Yesterday, President Obama ordered employment protection for gay and transgender employees who work for the federal government or for companies holding federal contracts, telling advocates that he embraces the irrefutable rightness of your cause. 297-5633 is your number, 877-217-5757. We shall return after this 90-second pause on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Reverend Reginald Pitcher and C. Denise Marcel, Metro Council member who is sponsoring an ordinance that will be debated tomorrow night before the Metro Council at its Wednesday meeting. And we shall see if 7 members of the council vote in favor of an ordinance that would prohibit discrimination against many classes, including gay people, on the basis of their sexual orientation, and certainly it would include housing and employment. And is this necessary? JR in the Garden District. Good morning, JR. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fine.
Great.
I think one of the things that jumps out to me is this continued use of the phrase alternative lifestyle. When many of these folks are Christian, they go to church, they include themselves in Reverend Pitcher's lifestyle and his overarching religion. On the other hand, there are other lifestyles I know that Reverend Pitcher is opposed to, like Satanist or atheist, but they get full protection. He doesn't go after them the same way after that he's trying to deny homosexual steroids. I don't get it.
All right, Reverend.
Well, first of all, I'm not going after anyone. I'm saying, simply stating the fact that I don't care who they are, whatever special interest group that may exist, you don't deserve special rights because you have an alternative, which is a different lifestyle. And I don't feel that you need to be protected simply because you want everyone to agree with you. I mean, civil rights, human rights, all that, we all come under the same umbrella. So why should you be any different from anyone else because you choose to live that lifestyle?
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Well, Pastor Pitcher, I understand that you disagree with part of the ordinance. What I want people to understand is there is no recourse. There is no legal recourse for people who have been discriminated against. So if it's your son or your daughter and someone fires them based solely upon that, then you would have an issue with it because they still need to eat. You still need to preach God's word to them to change whatever the behavior is, just like any other behavior, if you agree with the behavior. At the same time, you're not going to say, you're not going to stand up in your congregation and say, everybody that's gay and lesbian, raise your hand, and I don't want your tithes and offering, and I don't want you in here. What you're going to do is try to convict them and compel them with the word of God. Am I correct or not? We are saying the same thing. You said you don't want to discriminate.
We're not saying the same thing. I think that's an illegitimate statement in that if you fire because you're black, then just like anything else, you have to prove that discrimination was based on the fact that you're black.
And they will have the same recourse. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
They have the same recourse.
You're trying to create a whole different category to protect a group of people that are already protected.
All right, Charles on North Foster. Hello, Charles. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim, and good morning to your guests. Let me say this. I'm African-American. I live in District 5. I personally don't want to know any information about your intimate affairs. I don't condone homosexualism, but I do not condone discrimination. And I don't understand why two African-Americans would oppose any ordinance that would say treat everyone equally. I personally know here in Baton Rouge of women who work for state government who have been offered, black women, been offered more money to take demotions so folks who don't look like them can get their jobs. I'm not making this up. I know of young black men who go in and put in applications, and they can tell when they walk out that their applications are going in the trash cans. I know from graduates at Southern University, when their resumes pass over certain personnel desks and they see Southern University or Grambling, they go in the wastebasket.
All right. Thank you, Charles. Ed on Lakeshore. Ed, good morning. You're on with Denise and Reverend Pitcher.
Yes, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. I would like to just address and introduce some facts here that just came out from the Centers of Disease Control. Of all of these alternative genders, or whatever we want to call them, whatever the class is, I think they're 52 in all, the total percentage of them, according to the CDC, is 3% of the population. Some may think that's high. 3%. What are we doing here? Catering to this small percentage, and I realize we shouldn't discriminate and don't discriminate against anyone.
What relevance does the percentage have?
If it's the right thing to do. Out of nothing, it's as if it's 10% or 20% of the people, which I think.
Let me be clear. Because it's a low percentage of people, and because it's a small percentage of people that perhaps are being discriminated against, You're saying that that's okay and we shouldn't focus on protecting that small percentage. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that along with what Reverend Pitcher said. Try to give us the evidence of the discrimination today, not 5 years ago.
You can check the study that's recently been done by UCLA law students, and that is recent.
All right. Evan in Mid-City. Good morning, Evan. You're on with Reverend Pitcher and Councilwoman Marcel.
Thank you for taking my call. Two things, Reverend Pitcher. The Word of God says, and all thy getting, get understanding. And it's clear you have no understanding of this issue. Also, I going back to the point, it's as if you're saying that special people should not have special protection under the law. Okay, I have a disability, and I fall under the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. So are you saying that there should be no special provisions for individuals with disabilities because we're a special class of people? And so just do away with that law because we have other recourses that we can follow. Because, you know, that's what you're saying. No special ordinance or laws if you're a special class of people. So what about individuals who have disabilities? What about the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act? No special laws for anyone, because that's what you're portraying on this call. And I really wish you would go and educate yourself on this issue, because someone's going to listen to you today and be blinded by I would dare say, the ignorance that you're spewing this morning on this radio.
All right, Reverend Pitcher, please respond.
Well, sir, with all due respect, I don't appreciate you putting words in my mouth. I did not say that we should do away with any of the protections that are currently in place. What I said, and hear me good, what I said is that we don't need any additional ordinances to protect a special group of people who fall up under the auspices and the umbrella of the laws that are already in place.
297-5633, still time to get in with Reverend Reginald Pitcher, pastor of the Greater 68 Baptist Church on Gardier Lane, a big congregation, and seat in East Marcel.
My cousin is the pastor. I don't want him to be offended by that.
I remember when your church was over where the Walmart is now.
Yeah, same church. We moved it down on Gardier, and I stepped down, and my cousin is currently the pastor. I'm still a member, though.
Okay. Here's a observation from Nicholas, who says, many guests this morning have commented on the lack of a concrete public opinion. I'd like to point out a survey conducted by BRAF indicates that over 60% of people within Baton Rouge are in favor of workplace protection for LGBT folks. Please remind the Reverend that sexual orientation is only one item on the list of areas protected from discrimination by this ordinance. Would this ordinance be a big deal if it did not include sexual orientation, Reverend?
No, it would not, because it would still cover the areas that have been covered in the past. There's no special interest group covered in this except the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender group. I mean, there are other groups that probably would feel the same way, but they're not protected under this because they're already under the umbrella. So why create a special category just for them?
Well, it looks like at this point you have the votes, Reverend Pitcher. Does that surprise you, or is that just a given in Baton Rouge that something like this will be very difficult to ever enact?
I think it's a given, basically, because of the climate, you know, that we live in. It's a conservative climate, majority Republican, mostly they vote Republican, and I don't think they're ready to accept something like that, particularly when you have a special interest group that's claiming to be discriminated against.
But it's said on this show you support the president on any number of issues, but not on this one.
Not on that one. I do not. I absolutely do not. And I think he's catering to that part of the party, that part of the liberal part of the party, to maintain his credibility and support.
You don't think he really has his heart in it?
No, I do not. Based on past statements and past votes.
297-5633. Seat in East Marcel. We talked earlier about how you were against the tolerance resolution, and now you're sponsoring a full-fledged ordinance. It appears that you've had some enlightenment, if you will, on this subject, and there would be nothing wrong with that one way or the other if you've thoughtfully looked at the issue and come to a conclusion of some kind. But has there been, because of the debate that we've had over the last few years, an impression made on you?
Well, no, Jim. Initially, I told them when the resolution came up, one, it was a resolution and didn't have any teeth. It would not help anybody. And two, it only it came across the way it was presented to us was to welcome the gay community. And I want to welcome everybody to the city. I don't want people discriminated against. And so my ordinance really addresses discrimination. It addresses the discrimination. After that debate and since then, I've been on the council 6 years. I've had calls from people that say they were discriminated. I've recently had calls since this ordinance came out from people who are disabled, who look a certain way, who said that they actually wanted to be included in it as well because of what they're experiencing on discrimination on Facebook, even on Facebook.
Dave in Shenandoah. Dave, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, I just had a question for the Reverend. He was very concerned about the 3% population figure, and I was born into a Jewish family, so I was luckily enough protected under the Civil Rights Act for religion, but Jews certainly do not represent 3% of the U.S. population. Moreover, my wife was not born Jewish, but converted, and I think that it's important to realize that that was a choice that she made and is still protected under the law for a deeply held choice and the way of life. And so I'm wondering why the Reverend thinks that 3% is somehow less deserving of recognition than other people who are smaller numbers but are still protected under the law.
3%. Now, I must say, Reverend, I've heard people in the past talk of blacks as being a distinct minority. In some parts of the country, blacks are certainly less than 3% of the population.
Well, if the gentleman was listening to the conversation, that was not my statement, 3%. What I said was a special interest group seeking special treatment. It doesn't matter to me what the percentage is. It's just the fact that they're already covered. And I said again, they cannot impose their alternative lifestyle on us through an ordinance and expect us to accept it when they're already protected under the law as it is. I think it's a sham and a farce, and I think they're perpetrating a fraud with the ordinance.
Well, you keep calling it an alternative lifestyle. Is it an alternative lifestyle or just a lifestyle?
I think it's an alternative lifestyle. They choose to embrace that lifestyle.
Well, didn't we choose to be whatever we are?
We choose to be whatever we are in what regard, Jim?
Well, we choose to pursue members of the opposite sex as our partners and companions.
As heterosexuals?
Yes.
And we talk about normal,
natural. That's what I'm getting at. You're saying that what we do is natural and normal, but gay people believe what they do is natural and normal.
Well, the majority of society believes that that is an unnatural lifestyle, and I'm speaking specifically from that point of view. I feel that that is an unnatural lifestyle, and I classified it as an alternative lifestyle.
All right, Skipper and Gonzalez, please be brief. Skipper, you're on with our guests.
Yeah, I think it boils down to that the Reverend seems to think that gays at this time are protected under other laws, and the truth is they're simply not. I had a restaurant at one time, and my manager fired one of the employees, assistant managers, simply for being gay.
All right. Ron in Lafayette. Ron, you're on. Good morning. Yes, Ron. Okay, let's try Jonathan on I-10. Jonathan, good morning.
Well, hi. I there's a lot of talking going back and forth about, well, they're already protected or they're not already protected. I'd like to know what law the Reverend Pitcher thinks currently protects them, just like it does protect anyone else. Like, what recourse does he think homosexuals have if they are fired?
All right, what recourse, short of a law, or is there a law that would apply specifically to somebody who's fired because they are gay?
That I think the law that protects everyone, equal protection under the law, applies to everyone. I don't think there's any need for someone to say, well, specifically we're going to protect the homosexuals, or we're going to protect. They're already protected as citizens of this city, citizens of the state, and citizens of this nation against discrimination.
All right. Final words from Denise Marcel.
Yes. I think this debate has been great, and thank you for coming on with me, Pastor. I still love you, even though we're going to agree to disagree on this issue. I believe that what I'm saying is that I don't want anyone to be discriminated against regarding employment and regarding housing. All right. And this is just as simple as that, and I don't care what your sexual orientation is.
Well, thanks to both of you. We got it wrong.
I just believe that it's something that we need.
Until tomorrow, and we'll talk more about this then. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.